Hey, it's Christine with Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian and writer Kathleen Rohl talks about doing a benefit for the criminally insane.
She asked me if I would do a benefit at an insane asylum. So I said, yeah, sure. You know, and she was like, well, they're very, we don't call them insane. They're mentally blah, blah. I'm like, I don't care. Well, I was misinformed. I thought they would be law abiding. And they brought in mats, like gym mats, like they were too violent. And that's when I found out they were prisoners.
Today on the show, comedian and writer Kathleen Rohl talks about doing a benefit for the criminally insane. Stay close.
Hi, my name is Kathleen Rohl, and you're listening to Storytime. Fuck. Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show of over 11 years or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with writer, author, and actress Annabelle Gurwitch. Annabelle was talking about how she brought two homeless people into her home to live for a month. And it's, you know, part of this program to get the unhoused people into transition housing and then finally into their own place. But Annabelle is so damn funny. I mean, she's such a great sense of humor. So it was a very entertaining episode. You guys have to go back and listen to Annabelle last week. Now, Kathleen, you know Annabelle, right?
I do know Annabelle. And I love her. I did a play and a movie with her, a play that turned into a movie. That's how I met her.
That's amazing. And what was the name of that movie?
Spyro Giants was the play. And then the movie is Melvin Goes to Dinner, which is on Netflix right now.
Yeah, Melvin Goes to Dinner was a pretty famous. Well, it's like a cult-like film, really.
Yeah, a lot of people... I would say that cult-like.
It is cult-like because there's not a lot of movement. Isn't everybody just sitting at dinner?
Yes, they're sitting at dinner and they fleshed out the stories that they told. And that's where Jack Black came in, who is fantastic.
And what did he play?
He played a mental patient who thought that he was a Phyro giant.
What is a Phyro giant or Phyro?
He was from another planet. He was superior. He had superior to the humans.
Oh, boy.
And he was trying to tell these people, look, you don't get it. I'm from. And then a nurse would walk by and he'd say, oh, hey, Marge, love the new hair.
That's very funny. Who wrote that, by the way?
Michael Blyden, who's a sweetheart. I haven't seen him in ages.
Well, I'm going to look this up. You said it's on Netflix. Melvin Goes to Dinner.
Yeah, and Stephanie Courtney was in it. The progressive.
Flo
from Progressive, yeah.
I love Stephanie Courtney. You know, she's done my show a couple of times, and she's so talented, and she's so funny. She hasn't done Storyworthy, but she's done my game show, Story Smash, and she's played a judge. And we laugh. Oh. When I think of her as a judge, we laugh so hard. You know, now she's with Danny Zucker, and she's with Blanka Patch. So with all three of them together, it's just ridiculous. But I remember this one night, Stephanie kept, instead of putting the microphone up to her mouth, she put up her wine glass. Like she kept trying to talk into her wine. We laughed so hard.
Oh my God.
What a great girl. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to check this out then. Melvin Goes to Dinner on Netflix and you play the waitress.
And just so nice. Yeah. They were all together and there was another woman playing the waitress who had to leave for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I was at a party and Mike said, well, we're auditioning people to play this. So
That's fantastic.
It pays to leave your house every now and then.
That's so true. You know, half the battle is just to show up, man. The battle is getting ready, driving your vehicle and parking.
That's the battle. You know.
Once you're there, you're okay.
Oh, and Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul.
Sure.
He directed the movie.
Oh my, Melvin Goes to Dinner.
He's such a nice guy. He went on like a tour. He was doing lectures at colleges about this movie, and they knew him at the time before Better Call Saul, but they knew him from that HBO show that he did with David Cross.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who else is on it, but my parents, who live in Arizona, wanted to go to it, and I was like, no. It was like an hour to do not go. I didn't want them to see the movie, and I didn't. And they went to it, and they were like, as soon as he was done, they said it was just a bunch of people who were like, I guess they really, really like him. You know, they were very obsequious. And then he was leaving and going out, and they go, oh, we just wanted to say hi. We're Kathleen's parents. And he was so nice to
them.
That's
so kind. Oh, I'm glad they went, and I'm glad they introduced themselves. Yeah, Bob Odenkirk, what a talent. So, especially,
he's so talented and so nice.
And when you think about all these famous people that you're talking about that were involved in Melvin Goes to Dinner, I can't wait to see this early work. This is amazing.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'll definitely look for that. I look forward to it. Now, today you bring forth the topic, doing a benefit for the criminally insane. And, you know, I don't have much to draw upon, you know, I mean, I've done benefits, but not for the criminally insane. And I'm trying to think the difference between the criminally insane and the regularly insane would be what?
Well, that's where I was misinformed. I thought they would be law-abiding insane people. When I was told or asked to do this benefit, I thought they would be law-abiding. And you know what I thought? I thought this might be fun. Like, it might be, I was expecting like Dylan Thomas or, you know, Jonathan Winters.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him live and he was nuts.
How exciting, wow,
that would be great. Like Van Gogh, you know, really.
Sure. Artistic insane people.
Yes. And at that time I was doing like all these different shows. I mean, I was very new to comedy and I hated the open mics or the bringer shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look for this was a poetry thing. It was almost all poets and there were maybe one or two comics.
Oh, I see. Well, I can't wait to hear the story. So basically, you got on a benefit show with all poets, but there was a few comics.
No. One woman who was a comic, and I believe she was a social worker. I don't know. But she asked me to do it, and I kind of knew her. She had seen me at the poetry readings doing comedy. Like maybe 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear this. I remember going in with a friend of mine who was doing some work at a detention center, and it was a like all boys detention center in the hills of like way up in Ventura. And anyway, I went with her, but one of the things was like, oh, she was doing plays. She was going to theaters and helping kids put on plays in these detention centers. And I remember, like, I couldn't wear open-toed shoes. You can't wear makeup. Oh. You have to wear, like, sweatshirt. Because, like, these are young boys who hadn't seen a female in so long. And
you don't want to enhance them. Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
You don't want to be an enchantress.
I don't want to be an enchantress. And usually in life, I do like to be an enchantress.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, who wouldn't?
You totally are. Yeah, you go there with a push-up bra and like,
Yeah, just walk through like, hey, boys, you know.
Cat eye makeup.
Who's getting out first?
Yeah, really?
So, Kathleen, recently I heard you on Ed Krasnick's Mental Health Comedy Hour, and I adore the Mental Health Comedy Hour. I never miss it.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah, I'll tell my audience right now, go over there, listen to Ed Krasnick's Mental Health Comedy Hour. It's really a good show. And it's,
absolutely. He's great.
Yeah, and they have comedians come on and, you know, talk about a certain issue, and then the therapist that he's working with, or that's on his, you know, his co-host, Jennifer Kalari, she, you know, breaks it down, but it's not like boring at all. It's really smart.
No, and she's very accessible. She's just very, very nice.
Yeah, she's a great lady.
She's great too. Very insightful.
Yeah, very much so. And when you went on the show, you and your friend and an old guest on the show here, Frank Conniff, you guys were together with Ed, and I thought that was really funny, too, because Frank Conniff, who is a genius in his own right, just genius,
definitely.
He lives above you or below you or somewhere.
He lives above me. In fact, I borrowed his ear pods.
Oh, good.
This.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, he lives right above me.
He came on
I feel really bad for calling his cat an asshole.
Oh, right. You mean on Ed's show?
Yeah.
Why did you call Frank's cat an asshole?
I would feed his cat, I mean, pre-pandemic, and, you know, as you know, Frank had his heart surgery,
right.
But he was going, he was traveling quite a bit, and I feed his cat all the time. Or cats. I mean, I have for years. And actually, that cat's pretty nice.
Okay.
It's not an asshole.
Okay. Well, that's, but I'm glad
it's like,
you guys.
Hey, I'm the one with the food. Don't growl at me.
Yeah. Well, cats are temperamental, of course, et cetera.
Oh, I know. And I know that you have one.
I have two. Yeah. I have two kitties. And yeah, they're great. They're great.
I have one. I have a backyard, and there's a cat named Mr. Whiskers who belongs to a brownstone. And I hear them calling, Mr. Whiskers. But he just sits there and stares at me with jaded apathy.
Wow. He likes you.
Yeah, and I never feed him.
Oh.
But he comes all the time. And once they had, like, flyers around the neighborhood with his picture. And I said, oh, my God, that's Mr. Whiskers. And my next-door neighbor said, yeah. That cat comes in our yard too. I'm like, well, he's just kind of an asshole. I've grown to like him though.
Wait, is that cat lost? Why was it on?
It is not lost.
Well,
they thought it was.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and I don't know where it was, but part of that time in my backyard.
Wow.
And I thought, well, they're going to find it.
Well, the cat hears its name being called, and it just doesn't want to go.
Yeah. Oh, no. It doesn't even look.
Yeah.
It just, I have a lounge. It just sits there staring at me. And then it comes closer. And all I say to it was, don't even think of coming in the door. Don't even think of it.
Do you have a cat yourself?
No, I thought about getting one, or maybe a little dog, because I do have a backyard.
Yeah.
But, I was very surprised that I liked the one you did with the woman on.
Carol Baskin?
Yes.
Yeah, the interview I had with Carol Baskin a few weeks ago.
She was incredibly articulate.
I know.
Knowledgeable.
Smart, knowledgeable, on top of her game. I mean, I was so impressed. And so I've had that comment like 5 or 10 times now since that episode, because everybody thought it would be like a goof, and it wasn't a goof at all.
Yeah. And it sounds like she's doing like really great stuff.
I know. I mean, she's actually doing good work.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was great that you had her on, and I hope she gets a lot of attention from that.
Yeah, I hope she gets the law passed. She's trying to get this law passed that would prohibit people from, you know, buying and keeping these big cats.
It's
unbelievable. It's not even in the, yeah, right now it doesn't even exist. Our country, we have no idea what's going on with the tigers in the country.
I grew up in Arizona, and I too, your large Catholic family, my grandfather, my mother is from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Originally, my grandfather was a coal miner on my mother's side. But in Arizona, there's lizards, and snakes, and whatever. And I see people here putting them on leashes. Like, they're not pets. You don't.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously. That is so funny. Oh, yeah. God. In New York, people are walking lizards. Okay, now you're going to have to explain. Yeah, go ahead.
They actually have a leash. There's a type of lizard, and we called it a horny toad because it had horns around the neck.
Yeah.
But it's a damn lizard.
Wow, how big is it?
It's like, I'd say less than maybe a foot.
A foot-long lizard.
The biggest one would be, and they said, yeah, we're going to breed them.
Oh, God. That cannot be right.
No, it's not nice. It has a lizard brain.
Yeah, it's a lizard.
It's a lizard.
Your
cat will eat it.
We have so many issues going on in our country. You know, maybe the lizard thing just isn't, you know, it's just not hitting the mark right now. It's not really.
Yeah. It doesn't.
It's not where it should be.
Oh, it doesn't. It doesn't go to the level of like R. Kelly being arrested.
Oh God, what a dreadful situation that is.
Oh yeah.
But one more thing about Carol Baskin. If you go over to her Facebook page, every single day on Facebook, they have a live shot of one of the people that work for her going around the compound, you know, this big cat area that she has, this big cat rescue area. And it is so beautiful. I find myself just watching. Yeah, I find myself watching Big Cat Rescue in the morning on Facebook. I'm just like, wow, look at that. Like, look at that. Look at that tiger. Look at that lion. It's so beautiful. And then you think of what fucking Joe Exotic was doing. I mean, terrifying.
Oh, he was insane.
Insane. And the producers of that show, they spent 5 years with him. And they saw those cages. He had hundreds of cats in cages, metal cages, that you wouldn't see when you came to his GW Zoo. But if you went behind the scenes, it was row after row after row of big cats being completely, you know, uncared for.
That's, it's just heartbreaking. Oh, my God.
It is heartbreaking. I know.
Yeah.
It really is.
And they made her look like, I remember her wearing doing a sexy thing for her husband in a cat suit. And I just, God, it's like, you know, if you're a woman, you can't even, and that's her whole deal. They kind of made it look like she might have killed her husband.
Oh, that's the whole thing. Yeah, people are still investigating it because he disappeared. And there are questions I wanted to ask. Like, why did you get your pilot's license a year before he disappeared? That's interesting.
She could have killed him, but I don't know.
Well, and apparently he had like 25 affairs the previous year.
Okay.
Like he was such a playboy.
Well, some people are very killable.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not saying I killed him, but I'm just saying some people have it coming. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I just want to add this quickly. My parents do a religious thing, like a Catholic ministry in a woman's prison.
Oh,
like they
wow.
go in there and, I don't know, give them communion or whatever. But they can't ask them what they did. But there's a woman there from France who killed her husband. I looked her up on the internet. Valerie Pape. She killed her husband and put him in hefty bags all around Phoenix. So that's the thing with her. And my father said, she's a wonderful artist. Like she draws these murals. And I said, well, you know what she did? She killed her husband, but apparently he had been abusive. And my father said, you know, there are people that are very killable. She's a very sweet woman.
There you go. Your dad was spot on.
Yeah. So who knows? But I was quite impressed with her.
Let me tell you something. If somebody touched my daughter, you know, like I think about like this, some of the situations going on right now. And if somebody would touch my daughter, it wouldn't even cross my mind to kill the person. I mean, if they hurt her, right? It wouldn't even cross my mind to kill that person. Now, am I not a good guy? Am I not a good person?
For not wanting to kill them or for wanting to kill them.
Well, either way, I'm still a good person. My anger isn't
absolutely.
Toward any of you. My anger is toward this one person. So, I mean, I feel like
it's,
you know, it's, you know, I'm trying to think of the word. It's targeted. My anger is targeted. So you guys would still think I'm a nice person, right? You wouldn't think like, oh, no, Christine's crazy. She killed a man. Yeah, but why did she kill a man?
You wouldn't be a threat to society. You would just be a threat to this man who hurt your daughter.
Thank you. Thank
you,
Kathleen Roll. I'm going to keep this in my back pocket. And I know I have you as somebody to stand up for me, character reference.
Absolutely. I'll totally go to court.
Well, I am very excited to hear your story about doing a benefit for the criminally insane. But before we hear your story, I did want to tell everybody that we are back live at the Hollywood Improv playing Story Smash, the storytelling game show. The other night, we just played the other night on Saturday, and Melissa Peterman was so funny, she made Danny Zucker cry. Danny Zucker had tears pouring out of his eyes.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. And then Peter Melman was so funny that then Melissa started like losing it. And it's like they let the judges make each other laugh so hard. And oh my gosh, great episode. Story Smash, the storytelling game show every month at the Hollywood Improv. Check out StorySmashShow.com.
Great show. I listen to it. And
Thank you.
Sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, this episode I'm talking about now will be up, I believe, the end of next week. So, yeah, I'm airing all of the Story Smashes.
Sorry.
Well, no. It's every month, and I'm putting them up on the podcast so everybody can enjoy them. And if I could videotape in the improv, then I would show you the game as well, but I'm not permitted to do that. So until Story Smashes on TV, you guys could just at least listen to the game.
Why is it not on TV?
Kathleen, your guess is as good as mine. Let's make a call. Who should we call?
I know. And why isn't your podcast, why aren't you a television?
I don't know, Kathleen. You tell me. Let's call Warner Brothers. They got some shows.
Exactly.
Anyway, you guys, if you are in Los Angeles, you really do have to make it a point to come down to Story Smash every month here in Los Angeles. It's so funny. It's just so incredible. And even the staff from the improv come into the room to laugh and to be there because they love it so much as well. So a couple of shows coming up October 23rd and November 27th. StorySmashShow.com. That's where all the information is. All right, you guys, she's here right now. You've heard her talking, Kathleen Roll. By the way, what a great last name, Roll.
Roll.
Isn't that the best? Have you ever heard it on any, do you know any other roles?
Well, there's a Facebook page for roles, for people named Roll. And this guy, Mitch Roll, who seems very nice, he keeps asking me questions. it's about, you know, this role or that role. And I'm like, I don't know.
What are the questions?
Like, oh, do you know? Well, I had an uncle who was shot in the Gabby Gifford thing. It started with that.
Oh, wow. He was a federal judge. Oh.
Yeah, and he knew her. He Republican, whatever. But he asked me about that, and I said, look, talk to my brothers. They know all this stuff, like what nationality and, you know, Swedish. I wanted to tell them, I think we're direct descendants of Vlad the Impaler.
Oh, my.
It's not true.
Yeah, I don't think so. But it's a funny last name, R-O-L-L. And when you think about different...
And it hasn't been shortened. That's the name.
Yeah, and if we think about like the different names that could go with it, you know, like you name your child Tootsie or, you know.
Tootsie, I got called that a lot. Tootsie, Biscuit. They used to call my brother Biscuit. I was Biscuit's sister.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is not a manly name, Biscuit.
Yeah, really. But yeah, role is kind of a, one of my brothers wants to name his daughter Tilly Roll.
Tilly Roll.
And I Matilda.
Like it.
Matilda Roll is okay, but Tilly Roll sounds like a stripper from the 40s.
Yeah.
Like a James Cagney Tilly the Trollop.
Tilly Roll. Yeah, or like her brother, Dickie Roll.
Yeah. I have an uncle named Dick Roll.
Jesus Christ, that is so sad. That is really upsetting. Why don't they call him Richard? Can't they at least call him Richard?
I do, Uncle Richard, but people call him Dick. Dick Roll. I guess it's
Dick Roll, Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kathleen Roll is here, you guys. As you know, she's a comedian and a writer and an actress. And you have worked with a lot of wonderful people like Christopher Guest. And we mentioned Bob Odenkirk. And like I said, I heard you on Ed Krasnick's podcast, The Mental Health Comedy Hour. You guys should definitely check that episode out. It's very entertaining. And you guys can find Kathleen over on Twitter at Kathleen Roll. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Kathleen Roll.
Well, as I told you, I was doing these benefits at a poetry reading. It was like a show. It was mainly poets. And there was another woman comedian. There were very few comedians. There were like 30, 40 people, all poets, and maybe 2 to 3 comedians. And it was a very good place to do stand-up. But this woman... I had seen her there like 4 or 5 times. I think she was a social worker, but she asked me if I would do a benefit at an insane asylum. And I had done other benefits like at cancer wards and whatever, and I was happy to do it. So I said, yeah, sure. You know, and she was like, well, they're very... we don't call them insane. They're mentally blah, blah. I'm like, I don't care. I was misinformed. I thought they would be law-abiding insane people. Wouldn't you assume that?
I would think it would be like, yeah, mentally challenged people.
Well, yeah.
Or borderline personality. Maybe people that have had lobotomies or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But I got there and it's kind of like a municipal building. It looked like a school cafeteria. And there's a makeshift stage and no chairs. And I go, well, where are people going to sit? And they brought in mats, like gym mats. Like they were too violent. And that's when I found out they were prisoners. And the psychiatrist, who was a skinny, weird guy with a beard who just, the whole time he stared at me with mute horror. But he was like, well, they're prisoners. And so they came in all shackled together, you know, which, now, okay, that part I liked, but they unshackled them. They all sit down, and they weren't, they were mentally challenged. They seemed a little like childlike, like kind of, oh, you know, not violent. One woman, and she was catatonic. She like had no, and I thought, wow, I wonder what she did. But anyhow, the first guy goes up, and he's one of those, like a road comedian. And he had, he was heavy. Some people have pot bellies. I have a pot sink, you know, like, and this guy would answer all, he's fat. He's fat. And he had, like, he had a joke about, oh, I called this number 1-800, you know, of phone sex. I met this girl. She gave me her phone number. And the guy, that's phone sex.
And oh, my God.
And I thought, well, maybe, you know, I'm hoping for, like, some kind of brilliance. He did say, the guy had that joke, 4,000 comedians have done it. Like, ooh, the black box. There's an airplane crash, and they always find the black box. Why don't, you know,
they make the whole plane?
And yeah. This guy said, it's too heavy. It's too heavy. And I thought, fuck, yes, he's right. That's exactly why they don't make it. It would be too heavy to fly. Oh, and another thing that another guy kept saying, some people have a pot belly. I have a pot kitchen sink. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? They kept asking him. So that I enjoyed immensely. But before that, I went to get a drink of water when I first got there. And these two cops came and were like, you do not go by yourself to get a drink of water. It was just down the hall. And then, so I had to go to the bathroom, and I said to them, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. So one went on a radio, got the other cop, two of them, and they walked me to this bathroom, and it was like a public kind of, well, there was nobody in it. And one guy went in, and I could hear him kicking all the stalls. A movie. It was like I was the ambassador to Egypt. Like, they waited for me outside while I peed, you know, and it was just so
bizarre.
Well,
they have to have a chaperone they take somebody around a prison, right?
It wasn't a prison. It looked like a municipal building. I think it was probably the lightweight criminals, or I've done like rehab benefits where it's kind of like jail, like they don't have a choice, but it's still rehab. But it didn't look like a jail, and I checked it out. I thought, where is this? It's on 125th, and I guess they go from there to the real nut house, which is on Ward's Island. But so I go up, and I did just a little too well.
Tell us.
Like, I have these stupid jokes. I could bound, let me think, the death penalty, that one. Oh, my landlord, you know, I couldn't afford a lawyer. Judy, I use this guy that just watches Judge Judy. So he was good. I just wanted heating and hot water. And this guy was so, my landlord got the death penalty and they just loved it. Yeah. Yeah. And I had something about like, oh my God, heathen trollop, whore of Babylon. My boyfriend's Jewish. I'm a goyim. That they just, and they kind of talked through it, but they were great. They were great. And I can't remember what they objected to the most. The death penalty? Oh, sure. She was dead. I did this thing about being in the JCPenney's catalog. And this one girl was really good. Oh, sure. She was dead. But she was the perfect size, too. And there was no insipid whining about. But I do that, and I get off. And then the woman who booked me, her act was kind of like Carrot Top, only with more props. She had like tons of, and they just hate it. They just, that's a big word. She had a big globe for some reason. I don't even remember. But, oh, a big world. They just spoke. Like out loud, they were like chill, like 4 year olds. Just say it was like doing comedy for 4 year olds. So at the end of it, one of the prisoners came up and he said, "Are you? I thought you were the lady in the library. She has black hair, and I saw you when I walked in. I saw your hair, and then you turned around, and I went, oh, no, she's not the lady in the library." And I'm like, oh. And the two cops came and said, "We're going to take you home." And then the woman who booked me with all the props, she came up. She said, why would you do that material for mentally ill?" And I said, "You have seen me. Hey, I'm not the one that killed my family with an axe." And she said, "They did not." I said, "Well, you did not tell me they were criminally insane. You just said it was a mental facility, mental institution or whatever." And I was just so, I really was so, well, that was the last time she booked me for the mental.
How often did she do it?
I don't know, but I think she was a social worker and maybe she got paid for it. It's, I was telling someone about it and they said that it was probably, she made a proposal to the city of New York, like as a social worker, this would help, and got like a grant or got some money.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, just because you're in prison doesn't mean you don't want to be entertained.
Yeah. Puppetry for perps. That's
how much did you get paid for that gig? Do you remember?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. It was a benefit. I mean,
that's right. Yeah.
But I got a police escort home and they're like, "Where do you live?" And I'm like, "99th and Lexington." At the time, I lived in Harlem.
Yeah.
And they go, "You have to move."
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, "No, it's a really good neighborhood." And it was. It wasn't bad. I lived like right across the street from these projects, but I was really young at the time. You know, when you're, it didn't faze me. I did my laundry in the project's laundry room. It was so much nicer than the laundromat. But that's the criminally insane. That was...
Wow. Yeah, that's a big story. The criminally insane. Who knew? I didn't even know. I mean, I think about American Horror Story. You know, that was like, that was like the old school horror mental institution. I hopefully that's not happening anymore.
No, they have the main prison one is on Ward's Island. So I really don't know. I'd be really curious. My guess is they were all just kind of minor. Maybe drug that they couldn't have been violent. They wouldn't
criminal.
Have left the violent. Well,
oh, I
criminals.
See. I see. But it doesn't mean they were violent criminals. It's just criminally insane.
Yeah.
Sounds very scary.
Yes. When I first heard that, I was already in the place and like,
oh, God. Too funny. That
and
is.
And I was kind of mad. Like, I don't know if I would do it for the criminally. Maybe they just jumped the turnstile and insanity.
And they happen to also be mentally ill or something, and they're connecting it. Maybe. I don't know. That is that's a funny story, though. That's a really funny story, and you did make them laugh, so there you go. You've got a lot of flexibility, Kathleen Roll. You can do all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still write a lot, Kathleen?
I do. I haven't in a while. The pandemic, you know, I intended to spend, did you write during the pandemic? I don't know if you had downtime.
Yeah, no, I didn't as much as I wanted to, but I did a lot of Zoom comedy and stuff, you know, so.
Oh, I did not, but I did get like a big thing of writing. Because I was just so, I mean, I just read all these, like, Kafka and Gogol and,
oh, wow.
You know, I just
heavy
stopped,
stuff.
Like, so many of those horror shows, like, the criminally, they seem to be very popular. I don't get it.
Yeah. Which ones, exactly? What are you talking about?
Like, they're kind of documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Ted Bundy.
Oh, yeah. Right. I love that. That was a good... I mean, I know it's terrifying,
I did like that.
I like that
I did
one.
Like that.
Yeah, me too. New York City must have been really shocking. You know, you've been there pretty much your whole life. Was it...
Oh, no, no.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, how long have you lived there?
A long, long time. I moved back here and... 2005, but I grew up in Arizona.
Oh, that's right. But you've been in New York for 15, 20 years.
A long time.
Yeah. And so I'm just thinking then when the pandemic hit, I mean, that was like ground zero because that's where we saw the refrigerated trucks and the whole city shut down and Broadway shut down. And that was like the most shocking thing, I think, during the pandemic was seeing New York shut down. In other words, LA is always pretty laid back and something happens or it doesn't. And LA doesn't even really care. Which is why, by the way, the terrorists didn't hit Los Angeles because there's no city center and everybody'd be like, meh, go to the valley, you know? Like, we're not even a target. Oh. We're too spread out. But New York, you know, it's so specific. And so seeing that on the news was really impactful.
You know, I did hear there were terrorists in L.A. that on 9/11 that just flaked.
Really?
That's
so Los Angeles to flake like that.
I know. I thought maybe they were at the Improv and like somebody went and, you guys are great, you know, and they're doing Telemundo commercials. They're screaming infidel dogs, so they think they're just genius comedians.
You are so funny. Yeah, I know. I never heard that theory, though, that there were bombers or, you know, the terrorists were in L.A. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, this city, like the trees behind me.
Yeah.
So many animals came back. There were so many squirrels and birds in the trees. It was just phenomenal.
It's interesting.
And I would go out and do the 7 o'clock thing every night.
Yeah. The yelling for the emergency workers.
Yeah. And I talked to my neighbors and whatever, but yeah. I got so paranoid. And even now, like going to the village, I don't know, because that's like very young people, like NYU. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, you're vaxxed.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Am.
Good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. But
are you doing any comedy anywhere? Are you doing any indoor comedy? Because New York, you know, there's a lot still going on. I mean, now, especially. It's back.
Oh, I know. I know. The next thing I'll do, I'm sure, will be at, like, the Comedy Cellar, mm-hmm. or the Fat Black Pussycat, all those clubs down there.
Good.
So.
Well, you're very, very delightful. You make me laugh. I love your voice. Tell Frank Kahn if I said hello.
Oh, I absolutely will, Christine.
He did Storyworthy, and the story he talked about was he wrote a letter to himself, as if he wrote a letter to himself, a 21-year-old letter, or a letter to the 21-year-old Frank Conniff, something like that. It was very, very
really?
Funny. Yeah, it was.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
I'd love to read that letter.
Yeah, definitely. You can just Google Frank Conniff and Storyworthy. I'm sure it'll come up. But that was back in like 2011, long time ago. It's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. You have to have him tell the story about his quadruple bypass.
Oh, yeah. I bet it's dramatic.
It's hilarious. No,
is it? Is it hilarious?
No,
it's
not. I couldn't believe how calm and how he got through it.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just like, yeah, well, it's worst case scenario, quadruple bypass.
Wow. He's a young man for that, too.
Yeah, I know.
Hmm.
I know.
Well, I'm glad he's doing all right now, and I'm happy to see you as well. And so you guys, again, find Kathleen Roll over on Twitter, at Kathleen Roll, and then find me over there as well, at Storyworthy. And just give us both a shout-out and say, oh, my God, I loved your story. I love talking about the criminally insane with you girls. And we'll write back, and maybe we'll follow you. I don't know. Maybe not. Hard to say.
Yeah, right, hard to say. if you're not one of the criminally insane.
That's right. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of the very talented Kathleen Roll. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine. Thank
this
you.
Was
this
fun.
Has been great.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.